I'm just going to start right in with the. I had a lot of scriptures I wanted to read tonight, so I'm just going to start right in. Instead of telling any stories or talking about anything, I'm just going to let the Word of God talk. So we're going to be looking in the book of Jeremiah, but I wanted to have a little background of what we're talking about before we get into it, so we have a good idea what Jeremiah 42 is about. So we're going to start and just quickly look at some of these verses that I think will help us. So we're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 39. And I'm going to go through the verses. I'll read them. I won't read the whole verse, but I'll read some of it. And then, so verse 1 in Jeremiah chapter 39 says, "In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar and his army came against Jerusalem, and they besieged it." Verse 2. "And then in the 11th year of Zedekiah, the city was broken up." So Zedekiah was the last king of Judah, and Nebuchadnezzar came in and besieged the city. And in the 11th year, they broke in and they got into the city. Verse 3. "And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate." And verse 4, "When Zedekiah saw them and all the men of war, they fled and went forth out of the city." Verse 5, "But the Chaldean army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar." In verse 6, "Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah, slew all the nobles, slew all the rulers, all the governors of Judah." Verse 7, "Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon." Verse 8, "And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem." Verse 9, "Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city." So those that were still in the city, this captain of the guard carried them all away to Babylon. "But Nebuzaradan left the poor, the people which had nothing, in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time." Verse 11, "Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan." So, and he said, verse 12, "Take him, look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee." So, verse 13, "So Nebuzaradan took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, and that he should dwell with him. So he went and dwelt with Gedaliah, that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among the people." So Jeremiah is dwelling. He's not in prison anymore. He's dwelling among the people with Gedaliah. And then instead of reading chapter 40 and 41, we can kind of have it summed up in 2 Kings. 2 Kings is the same story, but it's much shorter than all that Jeremiah wrote. So we'll turn to 2 Kings chapter 25. So if you can make your way over to 2 Kings, this is just a sort of the same little story, but just we're going to continue on with it. But instead of reading all of the book of Jeremiah, we'll read in verse 22. So 2 Kings 25, it's the last chapter in 2 Kings, and then the last part of that chapter, chapter 25, verse 22. It says, And as for the people that remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, he made Gedaliah, the son of Anahikim, he made Gedaliah, the ruler, the governor. And when all the captains of the armies, these are the Israel armies, the Judah armies.
Something's unfair.
Pardon?
Something's unfair. Where's the mic?
Right here in my pocket. Why, it's not working?
Put it on the other side.
Put it on the other side? Okay. I didn't know I had to have the right side. Put it on my...
Something's unfair with the signal.
Okay, well, I'll put it on the other side. I thought it was okay. I put it on this side. How about it now? Is that better? Okay, I'll put it on the other side. Okay, so it says that when all the captains, these are the captains of the army of Judah, and their men heard that king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, they came to Gedaliah, to Mizpah, even Ishmael and Johanan. So these people came, and they and their men, they came to Mizpah, where Gedaliah was the governor. And Gedaliah, verse 24, Gedaliah said unto them, "Fear not to be servants of the Chaldees. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you." So the governor is telling the people, you know, don't be afraid of the Chaldees, but dwell in this land and serve the king, serve Nebuchadnezzar, and it'll be well with you. But Ishmael didn't like that. Ishmael says, verse 25 says this, of the seed royal. He came and 10 men with him, and they smote Gedaliah that he died, and also the Jews and the Chaldees that were with him at Mizpah. So what happened, it says, verse 26, and all the people, both small and great, and the captains of the armies arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldees. So this is, you know, this is the remnant of the people that were poor and didn't have anything. They were left in Judah, in Jerusalem, and Gedaliah was made the governor. Gedaliah tells them to not to be afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, but serve Nebuchadnezzar, and it's not going to be so bad for us. But Ishmael, he didn't like that. Ishmael was probably one of the family of the, he says, of the seed royal. Well, he didn't like what Gedaliah was doing, so he came and killed Gedaliah. And he killed a lot of the people in the house in the place with Gedaliah, the Jews and the Chaldees. So the people that were there, the Jews of Judah and Jerusalem, they were afraid. And they decided they could better go to Egypt for safety. Well, a little more background. That's just a little background. But I want to just get a picture, because it was kind of interesting to find out, you know, who the Chaldees are and who the Egyptians. And if we go back to Genesis, you can listen or you can turn there, but I'm just going to read in Genesis chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth." So those are, we're back pretty far, more than, you know, 2,000 years before Zedekiah. And it said in verse 2, "The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiras." So those are the sons of Japheth. And then verse 6 tells us, "And the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim. You see that word, Mizraim. There you go. That's the word Egypt. That's the Egyptians. See verse 6, it says, "And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim. Yeah, that's Egypt. If you looked up Egypt in the Greek, it would be Mizraim. Most of the time, Mizraim is translated Egypt. But Mizraim and Put and Canaan, that's the promised land, Canaan. And then if you want to just continue over, because we read about the sons of Shem, Ham, read about the sons of Shem. And the children of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Axphorad, Lud, and Aram. Those were the children of Shem. And then, you know, Shem was the ancestor of Abraham. So we we read over to chapter 11, it says these, chapter 11, verse 10, it lists all the generations of Shem. Verse 10, chapter 11, verse 10, and these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old, and he begat Arphaxad, 2 years after the flood. We just read that same name, Arphaxad, but listing all the generations of Shem, Arphaxad, and Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years, and he begat sons and daughters. So it goes through, chapter 11 goes through, listing all the fathers and sons, all the way to verse 26. Verse 26 says, and Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. No, we're up with Abraham. So we can see the, we didn't read all the names, but we can see from Noah to Abram. Noah to Abram. And then says, now, verse 27, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. Well, if we read a little bit further, verse 31, chapter 11, verse 31, it says, and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees. Ur of the Chaldees. This is the Chaldeans that, you know, we were reading about that captured Judah and Jerusalem, the same Chaldees, the Chaldeans. And they went to go into the land of Canaan. So this is a, so we see these names came up way, way years ago, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. Well, verse 1 of chapter 12 says, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. Verse 3, chapter 12, verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. Verse 4, so Abraham departed, he left, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when they departed Haran. And where did they go? It says, verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. So they went to the land of Canaan. Verse 5 tells us they went to the land of Canaan. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, unto thy seed will I give this land. So that was the land of Canaan. So we see just way, way back God's promise to Abraham and to his children, the land of Canaan, the promised land. Verse 10 we read, and there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the promised land. So Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there. So Abraham went to Egypt. Just like we're reading about the poor and the people in the days of Zedekiah, they were afraid, so they went down to Egypt. But if we read, you know, just so we can see this picture of going to Egypt was something that happened long, long time ago. So if we go to Genesis chapter 26. This is reading about Isaac. It says, Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, and there was famine in the land. Again, famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him, the Lord appeared unto Isaac, and said, go not down into Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. But dwell in the land which I shall show, which I shall tell thee of. Says verse 3, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. So Abraham went to went down to Egypt, but the Lord tells Isaac not to go to Egypt. Well, we know Joseph was made a slave and sent to Egypt, and Jacob and all his sons went to Egypt, and they prospered in Egypt. And then we know that later, Moses and Aaron led the people out of Egypt, hopefully never to return to Egypt again. Even though sometimes the people said they wanted to go back to Egypt, the Lord delivered them from Egypt. So this brings us to what we want to talk about tonight, going to Egypt. You know, the remnant that wasn't taken to Babylon, wasn't taken by the captain of the guard, Nebuzaradan. They were left there in Jerusalem, in Judah, but they didn't want to stay there in Jerusalem because they were afraid. They were afraid because the governor was killed that the Chaldees, the Chaldeans would come and kill them. So that's where we are right now. I want to just quickly tie in a little bit, what happened.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well,
yeah, the nation of the Babylon with the Chaldeans. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
They actually trace all the way back to Babel.
Yes.
Nimrod started his group.
Yeah.
And the Chaldeans were there at the time of Daniel. They were like the intelligentsia.
Yeah, the astronomers. But we know that Abraham and his father came from Ur of the Chaldeans, So, just a little background, because now we see that because of the Chaldees or the Chaldeans, that the remnant wants to leave Judah, leaves Jerusalem, and go flee into Egypt. And Egypt has always been like a picture of the world, you know, the picture of maybe even the doing things man's way, not God's way, to flee into Egypt. But, you know, we read because of this murder of the governor, the men, they want to flee into Egypt. In fact, the leader of the people that are there, his name is Johanan. We'll look at, just for a quick catch up to 42. In chapter 41, it says, "Then took Johanan, the son," all the remnant of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael. Well, Ishmael had captured all the people after he killed the governor. He took the people. Well, Johanan freed him. It says, "Then took Johanan and all the remnant of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, and they, verse 17 says, they dwelt in the habitation of Kimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go into Egypt." So they're about to go into Egypt. They want to go into Egypt. It says they departed, and they were going to get, they got close to a city that they could live in, a little place they were going to lodge in until they could go to Egypt. He says, because of the Chaldeans, verse 18, chapter 41, verse 18, because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael the son, had slain Gedaliah, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. So we see the kind of the background here. The remnant wants to go to Egypt. And they don't know what to do. Should they go to Egypt? So what do? They go to the prophet. They go to Jeremiah. And that's chapter 42. You know, sometimes I think of the Wednesday night group. This is a small group. We like the remnant. No, I don't call us a select, but we get to live in the promised land. You know, I also think about being saved is like living in the promised land. You know, you're a child of God and you live in all the promises of God. So this remnant is has the possibility to stay in the promised land, but they're talking about going to Egypt. And This is kind of, in a way, a prophetic word to believers and to those that are more than just new believers, those who are a little more solid, who can receive some solid meat. Because what Jeremiah tells the people is hard for them to receive. Let's go through chapter 42. It says, we need to know this, and it's good. It says, all the captains and Johanan and all the people. So we're in chapter 42, verse 1. And so they all go with Johanan, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near. So they come to Jeremiah, and they said, verse 2, and they said to Jeremiah, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold. You can see we're just a few of us. And they said, pray for us. Pray for us, because we want to go to Egypt. It says, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we should do. So they're saying, tell us what to do. You know, we want to go to Egypt, but we want you to pray. Jeremiah, pray and ask the Lord to tell us what to do. They want to do God's will. You know, they were afraid of the Chaldeans. They were afraid that Nebuchadnezzar would come and kill them all. So they wanted to flee the promised land and go to Egypt. That's what they're asking Jeremiah to pray about. It says, verse 4, then Jeremiah says, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. So Jeremiah says, I will pray for you. And whatever the Lord tells me, I will tell you. I will keep nothing back. Verse 5, it says, then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. So the Lord be our witness. The Lord witness to what we're saying. If we do not even according to all things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. You know, the Lord be, God is our witness. That's what he's saying. The people are saying, well, God is our witness that we will do all things that the Lord tells us to do, that the Lord will send to you to tell us to do. Verse 6, it says, whether it be good, whether we like it, or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God. He says, whether we like it, whether we don't like it, whether it pleases us or whether it doesn't please us, we will obey. You know, they didn't have to go pray, because now that they're asking God to tell them what to do, the situation changes a little bit. Now they have to obey the voice of the Lord. So they said, we will obey the voice of the Lord. Why? Because that may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So they said, whatever the Lord tells you, we will obey. Well, verse 7 says, and it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. So Jeremiah prayed. He might have even fasted, but for 10 days he prayed. And 10 days later, Jeremiah hears from the Lord. Verse 8, then called Johanan, so he called Johanan, and all the captains and all the people, from the least even to the greatest. So Jeremiah calls all the people, all the remnant, and he's going to tell them what the Lord said. Verse 9, and he said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, whom you sent me to present your supplication before him. He tells them, you know, you wanted me to pray, so I prayed. This is what God says. This is what the Lord says. Verse 10, if you will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down. And I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me, the Lord says, I repent me, or I have compassion for you of the evil that I've done unto you. Because bad things have happened to the people of Judah, and the Lord says, I'm compassionate, I'm sorry, in a way, for what's happened to you. You know, That's what he's telling them. So the answer to their prayer is, don't go to Egypt. Stay where you are. Stay in the promised land. Stay in the land where you are. Abide in this land. You know, and he says in verse 11, be not afraid of the king of Babylon. You know, that's why they wanted to leave Judah. That's why they wanted to go to Egypt, because they were afraid of the king of Babylon. But Jeremiah tells them, don't be afraid of the king of Babylon. That's what the Lord says. Don't be afraid, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. So don't be afraid. And then verse 12, and I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. So that's really the desire of these Jews, of these men of Judah, this remnant was to, they really would like to stay in the land. I mean, that's their homeland. Why would they want to leave and go to Egypt, to a foreign land? So that's the desire of their heart, I think. And the Lord tells them, well, that's what I want you to do. I want you to stay in your own land. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon. Don't be afraid of the Chaldeans. But verse 13, this is what happens. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord our God. Uh-oh, we don't want to live here. Saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt. You see, because there were some problems if you stay in the land of Judah. It might be difficult. Might be some trials. Might be some hardships. Might be some things that people don't want to go through. He says, we don't want to. Suppose you say, no, we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war. They want to go to Egypt, where they will see no war. There might be war. There might be some trials in Judah, but if we can go to Egypt, there'll be no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread. There we will dwell. So if you say, no, we don't want to obey you, we don't want to stay in the promised land, we want to go to Egypt. Egypt looks better to us. Looks like there won't be war there. There won't be any sound of the trumpet, no one warning us about things, no trials. Abide in this land. You see, verse 15, and now therefore hear the word of the Lord, you remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. So what you're running away from is going to overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine, which you were afraid that you would be starving in the land of Judah, says the famine, which you were afraid of, shall follow close after you in Egypt. And there you shall die. Boy, these are hard words. Hard words to these Jews, because they looked at Egypt and said, Egypt looks a little better than Judah. They wanted to go there, but... And they told Jeremiah, whatever the Lord says to you, like God is our witness, we will do what the Lord tells us to do. We will obey the Lord. Well, verse 17, so shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt, to sojourn, is that they shall die by the sword, they shall die by famine, they shall die by pestilence, die by war, die by hunger and starvation, and die by diseases. And none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. So God tells them, I'm going to bring evil upon you. If you go to Egypt, things are going to be bad. God is telling them, you should stay in the land that I've given you. Stay in the promised land, but don't flee to Egypt. And then he says, you know what happened? Verse 18, he says, you know what happened? As my anger and my fury has been poured out upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You know what happened in his anger? His fury was poured out on Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was conquered by Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. He says, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when you shall enter into the land of Egypt. You shall be an execration. You shall be a curse word and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. And you shall see this place no more. You'll never come back to the promised land. Verse 19. The Lord has said concerning you. So now Jeremiah is telling him, the Lord has said concerning you, O you remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. The Lord has said, do not go to Egypt. He says, know certainly that I have admonished you, I've warned you not to go to Egypt. He says, for you dissembled in your heart, you what's dissemble? I'm trying to think a better way to say dissembled. I'm trying to look at my notes. You see, I'm not reading my notes. For you, yeah, you put a false face. You want to put a false face on your heart. You're going the other way in your heart. You said you were going to do one thing, but now you're not doing it. You dissembled in your hearts when you said unto me, when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, show, declare us, and we will do it. So they said, Jeremiah is telling them, you told me that whatever the Lord said, you would do.
Hypocrites,
good word. Hypocrites, I think the New King James says they were hypocrites. They said, whatever God tells us to do, whatever God tells you to tell us to do, we will do. But now they said, no, we're not going to do that. And they did go to Egypt, as we read in Second Kings. They did end up going to Egypt, and they were destroyed. It says, verse 21, and now, this is Jeremiah says, and now I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for which he has sent me unto you. Now, therefore, know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine, by pestilence, in the place where you desire to go and to sojourn. Ah, so they asked, this remnant, they asked Jeremiah to pray and to get a word of the Lord. They seemed like they wanted to follow the will of God. They wanted to do what God would tell them to do. But they didn't do the will of God. They didn't do what Jeremiah told them to do, what the Lord told them to do. Do we ever pray this way? You know, sometimes we say, Lord, tell us what to do. Tell us what to do, and whatever it is, we'll do it, whether I like it or I don't like it, whether it pleases me or whether it doesn't please me. You know. Tell me what to do, Lord, and I'm going to do it. Do we ever pray like, after the Lord tells us what we want, what he wants us to do, we don't want to hear that. You know. Or we ask somebody to pray for us. You say, pray for me. I got to make this big decision. I might be going to the arm of the flesh. I might be going to the ways of the world. And I want to make sure that that's the Lord's will. So that's why they knew they were going back to Egypt. And they said, we want to make sure this is the Lord's will. So do we ever pray that way? You know, we need to have the Lord to show us what to do, because we want to do God's will. We want a clear answer. You know, we don't want to be, well, maybe I'm doing that, maybe I'm not doing that. But they wanted a clear answer, a clear word from the Lord. So they went to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah gave them a clear word what to do, and they didn't want to do it. So they didn't. In fact, they told Jeremiah that he's lying. They said, you're not even telling us what God said. You're lying to us. And they refused to do it. But the Lord says, you know, trust me, I'm going to take care of you. If you go to Egypt, you're going to die. If you trust me, things are going to work out. You know, sometimes that happens to us. It really does. You know, we're in a situation where, you know, we're following the Lord, we're living in the promised land, we're doing what the Lord wants us to do, but something happens, and we look like we want to go back to Egypt. We want to do things man's way. And man's way looks good. In fact, God's way doesn't look so good, but man's way looks very, very good, like the way Egypt looked to this remnant. And sometimes that happens to us. You know, we see things from the world's eyes, and the world looks better. The world's ways look better. And the Lord said, that's not my way. The Lord says, don't do that. He says, do it my way, even though my way looks more difficult. It looks bad for you. You do it my way. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to protect you. Just like he told the little remnant. He said, I will build you and not pull you down. You know, it would be difficult to be in Judah, but the Lord tells him, I'm going to build you. I'm not going to pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. That's what the Lord tells us. You know, when we are making some decision and we don't know what to do, the Lord tells us, stay with me, trust me. Even though it looks difficult, looks like it might be more trouble than to run to the world, run to Egypt. He says, I will take care of you. He says, if things have been hard, I'm sorry that things have been hard. I'll take pity for you. I'll bless you now. I'll give you mercy. And he tells him, be not afraid of the king of Babylon. You know, the king of Babylon in the book of Isaiah is referred to as Satan. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon. He tells us that. Don't be afraid of what the devil can do. Be not afraid of him. He tells him twice. He tells him, don't be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him. Sometimes we get afraid of what the devil tells us, you know. You're too sick. You're not going to recover. Your family will never get saved. Don't keep believing for him. The devil tells us bad things. And we get afraid. We want to go to the ways of the world instead of going to the Lord. But the Lord says, you know, I'm going to save you. That's what he told. I will deliver you from the hand of the devil. I will show mercies unto you and cause you to return to your own land. So that's what we want to do. We want to stay in the promised land. We want to obey the Lord. You know, the Jews, they didn't have to go to the Lord. They could have just said, we're going to go to Egypt. We're not going to ask God what he wants us to do. We're just going to go right to Egypt. Then they wouldn't have been disobeying the Lord. Bad things would have been happened, probably the same, but they wouldn't have been disobeying the Lord. When the Lord tells you what to do, if he tells you, don't go to Egypt, don't go. This is a word that I think is kind of, in a way, a prophetic word for us Wednesday night remnant, because we're the ones that come on Wednesday night. We're the ones that can take the hard meat, the hard, you know, what do they call that? The solid meat. We don't need the baby food anymore. We're the ones that want the solid meat of the Word. And I think the Lord is telling us, you know, you guys, y'all can handle it. Y'all can handle it when I tell you, don't go to Egypt. Don't go to the world. Because the world's not going to give you what you want. In fact, it's going to get worse. If you stay with me, things are going to work out. I don't know. I mean, the Egypt could be a lot of things. It could be, anyway, going to the flesh, you know. Anyway, it could be the bank, could be the medical profession, could be something that you're putting before God. You're trusting something before God. You're saying, God's not going to provide, so I think I need to go somewhere else. And it looks better. You know, sometimes when you see what the world has to offer, it looks like the world can provide where the Lord can't. And I won't have to go through all these trials, all this difficulty and believing and, well, you know, it won't be uncomfortable for me. It'll be comfortable just to go to the world and let the world give me what I need. We don't want to do that because we want to obey the Lord. If we're the ones that really believe what God tells us. We believe it and we are serious about it. So I think this is kind of like a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a prophetic message, but in a way it is. I think in these last days, you know, we need to believe that when we pray and the Lord tells us what to do, we need to do it. Even if it looks like a tough road, even if it looks more difficult than doing something the world's ways. In these last days, the Lord is calling us to trust Him completely. Yes. You know, what we do know, 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Lord's not going to put us through anything we can't handle. You know, God will not allow us to be tempted more than we were able. We looked at that verse on Sunday, you know, but He'll make a way of escape. He won't test us. So it looks like sometimes God is just asking us to trust Him more than we feel comfortable doing. I think that's the way this remnant in Judah felt. God is just asking us to do too much. We can go right to Egypt and get this all done. And God says, no. Don't go to Egypt. Stay in the promised land. Stay in the land that you've been promised. Amen. So, you know, when we pray and God gives us an answer, what do? You know, we'll have to make a decision. Or maybe we just don't pray. You know, you got to do something that you want to do something, and you say, well, maybe I just won't pray about this. I won't ask the Lord what to do. That way I won't be going against His will. I just won't pray about it. That's not a good idea, especially for us who, we always want to do the Lord's will. That's not one of our options. We're not going to say, well, Lord, I'm not going to pray about this. I'm going to pray about this. And I'm going to see what You say. Well, if we pray, then we know the Lord's will, but we disobey. At least we know what's going to happen, you know. It is a prophetic word. We don't obey the Lord's will. We know what's going to happen. You know, the Lord told the remnant of Judah, well, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be destroyed by war or violence. You're going to be destroyed by hunger or starvation. You're going to be destroyed by pestilence, by disease and sickness. So at least if we don't obey the Lord, we know what to expect. It's not going to work out good. Or we can pray and know the Lord's will and know, well, it might look bad. It might look difficult. Your mind might say, this is a mistake. I'm trusting God too much. But in faith, we'll follow the Lord. And we'll trust what the Lord says, that He will build us up. He won't let us be destroyed. He won't pull us down. He'll plant us. In fact, that's true. As we trust the Lord, we'll grow deeper and deeper. Maybe difficult, but as we walk in faith, our faith will grow deeper and deeper. He'll plant us in our faith. We won't be plucked up or removed. And we know God's merciful. You know, he will be with us. He'll be our comfort. He tells us not to be afraid. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon. God is greater than the king of Babylon. The Lord will be with you to save you and to deliver you. So, All right, we, something else, you know, we can say, I'm not going to Egypt, so pray for me, because I'm going to need prayers, because I know it's not going to be the easiest thing to do. It's not going to be an easy road. So we still need, you know, to tell people to pray for us, even if we do follow the Lord's will. So I just believe in these last days, we're going to have some real decisions to make, life-changing decisions. And it's going to look hard. It's going to look hard. It's going to, can I do what God's telling me to do? I mean, you know, in my own life, I see these things. You know, I'm going to say something that I've been praying about. And my wife doesn't know this yet, but I've been praying about, you know, she wants to move out of the city of New Orleans because it's getting bad.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. But,
so I've been praying, Lord, do you want me to move? You want me to move from the middle of the city of New Orleans? And the Lord has not given me an okay to go. It's something that, I mean, I almost feel like it's time to go back to the mission field. You know, when the Lord told me to go to Russia, my wife wasn't too happy, but I knew it was God's will, and it was easy for me. It's hard to tell a wife and mother who's made a beautiful home, her home, that we're packing up and going to Russia. It was easy for me. I didn't look at the hardships, but I know my wife did, and she went with me, and I appreciate that. I know God blessed her, and God blessed us there in Russia and there in China. I think all the things that we were afraid of never happened. You know, God was with us. And probably some of the things that would have happened if we would have stayed, you know, I always think, you know, things would have been so much better. I could have stayed working at my job. I would have made a lot more money. I probably could get a bigger house, and my children would have more things, and I'd be able to give more money to the church. Just think if I would have stayed in New Orleans and stayed working at my job. But the Lord said, no, that's not true. I mean, how much things changed because of eternity, because of you obeying my voice. And even in my own wife and family, you know, our eyes are so much more focused on the Lord. Following the Lord back then has made us closer to Him. And I think it protected our children from a lot of the things of the world. You know, all three of my children are very much serving the Lord. And if I'd have stayed here and given them everything they wanted, they may not have stayed with the Lord. So I know that sacrifice, even though I didn't think it was as hard as it my wife might have thought it was good. So today, as I'm thinking, I'm going to stay where I am. I'm not going to move out of the city of New Orleans, even though I'm afraid of the crime. And I'm afraid of... Pardon? Yeah. Well, I'm not saying Egypt, Jefferson Parish or St. Charles Parish is Egypt, but I just think it's the Lord's will. If the Lord wants me to stay where I am, even though things might not be as easy as I think they could be somewhere else, they're better there because that's the Lord's will for us. I think that's one of the things that as we're, you know, coming closer and closer to the Lord's return, there are going to be decisions that we've got to make, and we're going to put these things in the Lord's hands, and they're going to be, it's going to look like God's way is too hard. The way to Egypt looks a whole lot better. And in our natural eyes, in our eyes of man, we get deceived. So it's a good thing Because we know even though the trial might get really, really difficult, might the fire might get really, really hot, God is always with us. And he's merciful to us. No matter what happens, we can trust him. We can trust him when we put our lives in his hands and obey him. We're not going to do what this remnant did. Because we know it doesn't work out for him. And we know if we don't, it's not going to work out for us either. But we do know what God is telling us. If we trust him, even though the road may look tough to stay in the promised land, to hold on to his word and his promises, it's going to all work out for good. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let me close with prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your warning. I thank you, Lord, for your promise. Even though we don't always see what could be the best and easiest way, we want to follow your will. So we do pray, Lord, that you do direct us, Lord. We do pray. We do pray, Lord. We pray for ourselves and we pray for each other that we will do what your will tells us to do and not be disobedient, not disobey your word, knowing that you are faithful to get us through. And we thank you, Father, for the warning, because we know if we disobey you, certainly things won't work out well. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise